You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. It is officially what, Stephen A.?
NFL draft night.
Draft day. Let's get it. Dan is in Detroit. We'll have Tim Legler, Brian Windhorst here on the Heat's big upset.
You know,
I was shocked by that.
I was stunned as well. Notice it's a big day because Dan Orlovsky's got on a tie. You know, so obviously it's a day that matters because normally, he's going the cheap route, but he stepped it up a little bit today. Okay. Okay.
Danny-o, back in the morning.
In the season.
What's up,
Dio? I wear a tie. In season, I wear a tie every day. In the off season, I try to get a little bit more comfortable. That's fair.
That is a lie. There have been times during the season where you have not had a tie on a Monday morning. I know that for a fact. I'll get the footage for you if you need me to. But a couple of times, not often.
Maybe when I'm red-eyed from like the West Coast or
Europe. Yes. Now it's an excuse, it's an explanation. You know what I'm saying? Before it was never. Now it's, maybe I did it. See what I'm saying? Let's move on. You're right. He's already starting off on the wrong foot. But I'm here for you, my brother.
Dan, it's a big night for me. Pick six. All eyes on you know what. We'll get into that in just a minute. Okay, so everyone, you know what it is. It's draft day. And all eyes, as always, on the quarterbacks, especially with this class. Three quarterback needy teams kicking off the action at 8 p.m. Eastern tonight. Caleb Williams is expecting to hear his name called first tonight. Jaden Daniels has been trending as the favorite to go number two to the Commanders. Drake May to the Patriots. That, according to our Mel Kiper Jr.'s latest mock, Kiper has one more first-round quarterback in his mock, and that would be J.J. McCarthy. Danny boy, which quarterback in tonight's draft do you feel like has the most to prove?
Caleb Williams, and it's not even close. The Bears are one of the organizations that is starving for good quarterback play. Never had a 4,000-yard passer. Strictly to Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams was the number one recruit coming out of high school at quarterback, okay? He goes to Oklahoma under Lincoln Riley, who had back-to-back-to-back, I believe, number one draft picks at quarterback. And then he transfers when Lincoln goes to USC, transfers, and wins the Heisman. I mean, this young man has accomplished so much already. And, you know, I said last year, there's a lot of his game that is, if you took Josh Allen, if you took Lamar, and you took Patrick Mahomes and you put them together, there's a lot of traits and skills within his game that remind me of those guys. So the floor, like the standard of who Caleb has been, is unbelievable. The organization, starving. They make the trade last year to not draft early on a Bryce Young or a CJ Stroud. And then they make, and probably the right decision, this year to move on from Justin Fields. To remind everybody how they got Justin Fields, they gave up two first-round picks, a fourth-round pick, and a fifth-round pick to go up and get Justin Fields just 3 years ago. And then Justin Fields, in his three-year career, under two head coaches in a bad situation, if we're keeping it real, accounted for 54 touchdowns and 30 interceptions and 9,000 yards of total offense.
Okay.
He wasn't terrible in a terrible situation. So, like, there's a lot of pressure for Caleb to go be what they've never had before in Chicago. And that's every time they step on the field, they got the better quarterback. They've never had that. And he's got to go be, like, a superstar for him to be what the expectation is.
Dan Orlovsky, I'm throwing out this name. You're going to look at me like I'm insane, like you've never looked at me before. I'm going to throw out the name J.J. McCarthy. That's what I'm going to throw out there. Now, listen, I know that you are absolutely right with Caleb Williams. Here's why I'm throwing out J.J. Because over the last week and a half or so, I'm hearing that this brother has the potential to be a top five pick. I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Right.
Nobody, I wasn't seeing that. I know he's a reigning national champion. He led Michigan to an undefeated season. We get all of that, and he deserves his props and respect for that. But when you look at him and the kind of things that they talk about him right now, He's an intermediate thrower, throwing in between the numbers in the middle of the field. That's his strength. Throwing outside the numbers, throwing the deep passes, not necessarily his strength, okay? When you think about him compared to Jaden Daniels and others, you didn't really look at him on that level. Drake May, you haven't looked at him on that level. When we talked about Penix or Bo Nix, we haven't talked about J.J. McCarthy on those levels. And then all of a sudden, a week and a half, his name starts popping up. And you start hearing about the Giants potentially, or even the Chargers, even though the Chargers need a tackle and they need a receiver and they need a few other things. But, of course, Jim Harbaugh, the former coach at Michigan, now the head coach with the Los Angeles Chargers, wants to infuse his vision for the team. I know that Caleb Williams is the number one overall pick. He's got a lot to prove, particularly with what you said about Jaden Daniels out of LSU, because you expected, you actually said at one point you would take him with the number one overall pick. You said that weeks ago, right? So, obviously, if you Caleb Williams, yes, and you got people like Dan Orlovsky that are saying, excuse me, Daniels out of LSU, that's something that you have to pay attention to. And you're the number one overall pick. You consider the history of the Chicago Bears, the most renowned quarterback they've had in recent memory. It was Jim McMahon in 1985. Clearly, there's an infusion of something that they need from the quarterback spot, because it can't be the days of Jay Cutler. It can't even be the days of Justin Fields. It's got to be on an elevated level. I get that. I understand it. He's the number one overall pick, supposedly, presumably. We get it. But when you're talking about a guy that nobody was looking at in a certain way, and then all of a sudden, the last couple of weeks for the draft, you're talking about this guy potentially being a top five pick. If J.J. McCarthy ends up getting taken in the first five or six picks of this NFL draft, which I doubt will happen, by the way. But if that happens, I'm going to tell you, that's a brother that's going to have something to prove, because we look at the talent of Caleb Williams, and we don't have any question marks about him. Nobody is going to blame the Chicago Bears for taking him. But if you pick, use a top five, top six pick on J.J. McCarthy, everybody's going to be looking at your organization like, what the hell were you thinking? Is this the second coming of Mitchell Trubisky, even though he's not Drake May out of North Carolina? They're going to have questions about that. And that's the only reason I brought his name up, D.O.
All right, I don't disagree with you. This young man, J.J. McCarthy, has done stuff that is he's won basically everywhere. Here's a couple things that we had the conversation about J.J. McCarthy with. Stephen, he was the number five ranked quarterback coming out of high school. This is why I have said this, and it's an admiration way, and I say it partly jokingly. This is Patrick Mahomes' fault. Okay, everybody is trying to go find and chase Patrick Mahomes. Oh, let's go get the guy that does stuff that we can't explain, and let's go get the guy that, like, we can. He's so raw, but he's so talented.
I don't agree with that.
And we'll fix. Why we would draft these physical talents.
Let me interject for a second. Here's why I disagree with you in terms of your classification of the Patrick Mahomes that people are looking for. I don't think, of course, you would love to have a Patrick Mahomes talent. I think when you talk about people looking for the Patrick Mahomes, it was the Patrick Mahomes that was taken 10th. That's what I'm saying. They're looking at it, excuse me, we had a Mitchell Trubisky that was picked ahead of him. They were talking about Deshaun Watson coming out of Clemson and others. And here we find this gem in Patrick Mahomes, and we didn't even have to use one of the first nine picks or so to get him. Okay? I think that's what people are looking for when they're looking at Patrick Mahomes. The guy with that level of talent that a lot of people may not see and might pass up on, so he could end up falling in our lap. I think that's what people are looking for. Everybody wants the talent that is Patrick Mahomes. But the point is, who's going to see it that early like Kansas City did?
Yeah, and it's also like we could be honest about, we go make sure that when you draft that guy, they got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, and go get one of the best offensive minds in the history of the game of Andy Reid. So it is the perfect thing. My point is this, Stephen A., I've heard so many people talk about the lack of talent that J.J. McCarthy has. And my pushback to that is, well, where? Where's the lack of talent? He's an unbelievable athlete. He's got a rocket for an arm. He was only given the opportunity to, like, he was the best third down quarterback in college football last year. That's the hardest down to play college football or play quarterback on. And he was the best at it. He just wasn't given an opportunity to do it on a consistent basis on first and second down like those other guys have. No, he is not as dynamic of a playmaker as he is as Caleb. But he plays more on time. And I would argue that that is just as, if not more, more important than the runaround stuff. No, he was not given the unique offense pass game-wise early down that Jaden Daniels was. And he's not the electric runner that Jaden Daniels was. But it's not like this young man's not wildly talented. I don't disagree with the pressure on you or pressure on JJ that much. I disagree that you don't think he's going to be top five or top six. I think there's a very good chance that he goes top five or top six. I'd be shocked if he made it outside the top 10.
To
think that.
To be clear, are you saying Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then after that it should be a JJ McCarthy over a Penix, over a Nix, over a Drake May? Is that what you're saying?
No, I would take Drake May third, but it's different situations. I would sit Drake May till we mechanically got better. I don't have to sit J.J. McCarthy. J.J. McCarthy is going to walk into, like, if J.J. McCarthy got drafted by the Giants, he's the best quarterback they have in the building, talent-wise. It's not close in
my opinion.
Well,
then if that's the case, why not take him ahead of Drake May?
Because if you're New England, you are situationally set up to allow a young quarterback to develop and not get him on the field. One, you can't win because your roster is not good enough. Two, you had Jacoby Brissett. Do I think that, like Stephen A., if you took both of those players, J.J. McCarthy and Drake May, and you put them in relatively similar situations, people around them, coaching, whatnot, and they both reached their top talent, yes, I think Drake May has more uncoachable traits, and that does matter in the NFL. I'm not saying that doesn't matter. But I don't think that the guy that you take tonight, that there's this wild talent difference between either guy. I think Drake May is a big-time talent. I also believe that J.J. McCarthy is physically both as an athlete and a thrower.
Okay.
All right, both hot commodities. We'll have much more on this in just a bit, but we got to get into the NBA. All right. Before we get to the Celtics, we've got a quick take for you, Dan. Who do you think could be some hidden gems of tonight's first round?
Yeah, I'm going to Georgia for two different guys. Number one, Ladd McConkey. I think Ladd McConkey, and this is such a deep wide receiver class, but I think he's got a lot of nuance to his game that is going to be really good if he goes to the right place in the NFL. Could I see him being a pick for the Los Angeles Rams and a Cooper Kupp type of player? Absolutely. And then Brock Bowers. I'm just telling everybody, if I was Chicago at 9, I would think long and hard about taking Brock Bowers.
Oh.
If they don't, and I'm the Indianapolis Colts and Shane Steichen, he is perfect for Shane Steichen, Indianapolis Colts, and Anthony Richardson. What do you got, Stephen A.?
What is your definition of a hidden gem? Who doesn't know that Brock Bowers is the best tight end in the draft? That's not hidden. Everybody knows him. That's not a hidden gem. We know Brock Bowers.
But I'm giving you where I would take him. That's a little bit hidden. If I was the Bears, and if you told me Romo Odunze might be there at 9 or Brock Bowers is there at 9, I think I would take Brock Bowers. Even though I think Romo Odunze is fantastic, and Ladd McConkey I think is going to be a first round wide receiver that immediately steps into the NFL, and we're talking. You know, I think a guy that can go for 60 or 70 catches.
Quick question. What do you think a quarterback needs more, a wide receiver or a tight end, in today's NFL?
Tight end.
Okay. That's right. That's what I want to know, because that makes total sense. That makes total sense. Because I'm looking at Chicago with DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen, you know, I mean, listen, they both can ball, no doubt about that, but in the same breath, durability is an issue. It's a question mark. I want the most durable individual so Caleb Williams can have somebody to rely upon. That's how I'm looking at it. But if you talk about tight end, I clearly think that a tight end is more important, because obviously that's a safety net for you, because the tight end usually ain't going deep outside the numbers. So I would look at it from that perspective, and I'd say tight end as well.
Yeah, and just real quick, Stephen, I think if we look at some of the young quarterbacks that have had to play right away in the NFL and had success, I go back to 2016 and Dak Prescott. Obviously, dominant offensive line, but he had Jason Witten. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes had Travis Kelce. I think when you take a really good, young, talented tight end and you give him to that young quarterback, the different stuff that you can do to gather information and create matchups makes the intellectual, the thinking element of quarterback play easier for that young guy.
Got it. All right.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. The Heat torched the Celtics with a 23 three-pointers last night to even the series. Miami defeated Boston 111-101. And the team's three-point total was a playoff franchise record. The Heat also became the first playoff team in the past 30 years to win by double digits, despite being an underdog of 14 points or more.
For us, we've been doubted a lot through our playoff runs. You know, as people saying, we couldn't do a lot of stuff that we did. So for me and my team, it's like, why lose belief now? Backs against the wall, everybody always against us. Use it as fuel. You know, a lot of people seem to think we're going to buy into what they say of we can't get it done and make it seep into our locker room. And it's different. Our guys believe that we can win. You know, we get in between those lines. We make it about basketball. We don't make it about schemes. We don't make it about this guy and that guy. We make it about mano a mano, getting that cage fight, and let's hoop.
Jimmy Butler, who's still sidelined with a knee injury, posted this Photoshop of his head on Jaylen Brown's body on Instagram, quoting Brown, who said last year during their Eastern Conference Finals matchup, "Don't let us win one." Tim Legler is in the building. Brian Windhorst also gracing your screen. Hi, gentlemen. Great to have you.
Good morning.
Look at the tie with Wendy. Go ahead, bro. Good
morning.
Go ahead. I see it. Stepping out. All right. Okay.
I mean, it's springtime. That's a nice tie. I like that. All right. Let's dive into this one. Stephen A., Miami's upset of Boston. Is this something or nothing?
It's something. It's something. I was quite shocked. I was dead wrong. I thought not only did I think the Boston Celtics were going to win last night, I thought they were going to blow them out and Miami was going to go back to Miami and win. I didn't think that they would be in Boston doing what they did last night. 62% of their shots were three-point shots. 62% of the shots made with three-point shots. This is the fourth time in the last two postseasons the Miami Heat have shot better than 50% from three-point range against the Boston Celtics. Okay. You got to think about that for a second here. And then Tyler Hero. Tyler Hero was the best basketball player on the court last night. It wasn't Jason Tatum. It wasn't Jaylen Brown, even though they both had good games. It was Tyler Hero because he controlled pace. 14 assists to go with his 24.6 threes. The brother played outstanding. And so I look at it and I think about what we said coming into this series. We knew that the Boston Celtics collectively were more talented, but we also thought the Miami Heat were mentally tougher. And we think about Heat culture, and it's a cliche that we throw out there, but we can't ignore this because Eric Spoelstra 10-3 in game twos after losing to game one. The man is a hell of a coach. He finds a way. And then when you look at Bam Adebayo, he's averaging over 21 a game, shooting better than 50% from the field. Tyler Hero is doing his thing. Caleb Martin showed up after his anemic four-point performance in game one. He was a threat as well, but somehow, some way, They end up beating the Boston Celtics. The only thing that I would say is this. Kristaps Porzingis, how the hell are you 7'3" and shoot 1-for-9? 7'3"! I mean, I don't know if you even have to jump to dunk. And somehow, some way, you will shoot 1 of 9 from the field. You get to the free throw line 4 times. You get 4 attempts. You hit all 4 of your attempts. It was a very disappointing performance. And the kind of things that we've said about Boston, Boston can beat anybody. But in the same breath, they could lose to any of these teams if they don't bring their game. And when I look at them right now, I just find myself scratching my head. And I just can't help but say it because I always do, Wendy and Legs. I think if Ime Udoka was coaching this team, they'd have won the title last year, personally. I think they had a chance to win the title last year. I just think that he's that outstanding of a coach. Mazzulla is good, but he just creates some question marks sometimes when I see these dudes play the way that they play. That's just me. Go ahead, guys.
Yeah, you brought up Porzingis, and I think the takeaway from me in this game is really Porzingis. Now, look, the Heat won because they were awesome from three-point range. They had, when you look at Hawkes, Highsmith, and Caleb Martin, those guys were 0 of 11 on threes in game one. They were 11 of 17 in game two. Okay, that was an outlier, great three-point shooting performance. But the Porzingis thing is the interesting thing, guys, not just because of this game, but also going forward, because what Eric Spoelstra did in this game was put a big giant target on Kristaps Porzingis. If you go watch all the three-pointers that they made, and it takes a while because there's 23 of them, most of them were aimed on pick and rolls at Porzingis and Horford to a certain extent. But essentially what Eric Spoelstra did was target Porzingis on defense by basically having the guys who he was guarding shoot the threes. Now, Boston's point is Jaime Jaquez and Caleb Martin, these guys are low 30% three-point shooters. We're not going to have Porzingis go up and smother them. We're going to play the percentages. But then at the other end of the court, guys, Eric Spoelstra put Caleb Martin on Porzingis for a bunch of this game. That was basically a disrespect move, basically daring Porzingis to beat them. And the big difference between this Celtics team this year and last year is Porzingis. Now, the addition of Drew Holiday makes a big difference, and individual matchups in the playoffs, that could pay huge dividends. But Porzingis is the big move, and Porzingis has been great this year. And basically, Spoelstra is challenging Porzingis. So I want to see how he responds in Game 3, and regardless of what happens in this series, I wouldn't be surprised if the future opponents target Porzingis and make him prove it as well.
All right, listen, I'm going to pump the brakes on the level of anxiety I'm feeling from you and Wendy right now. Mm-hmm. I'm just a little bit. Here's why. The question is this a big deal, or is this like a one-game situation and things happen? I think you can only answer the question in the context of what comes next for the Boston Celtics. Look, there's no question they can be vulnerable on certain nights, and I think they're going to be the most questioned 64-win team this league has ever seen all the way through the postseason. Any night they lose a game, we're going to raise this question. Wow, is this something? Are they now going to find themselves in danger at some point in this series? Here's why I say it only matters in the context of the next game. I want to see what adjustments they make. Because here's the thing. We're talking a lot about Miami Heat shooting threes and making threes. To put it in context, what we watched last night, I think there's been 3,300 playoff games since they put the three-point line in. 3 times in the history of the NBA playoffs have teams made more threes than the Heat did last night. That is a one-off, absolute shooting above your pay grade night by the Miami Heat. I don't expect that to continue throughout the series. The Boston Celtics need to go down to Miami and win Game 3 decisively. And if they do that, they will immediately flip the script. They'll put away all the talk that this is going to be a long series. They're in trouble. It's dangerous. The Heat, Eric Spoelstra, all that. All those things are true about Miami, particularly Spoelstra. But the Boston Celtics can reverse this mentality immediately. And here's the adjustments. Here's what Miami did to them. They didn't blitz them last night. They switched all of their ball screens for the most part throughout the game. As a result, Boston went into heavy isolation mode. When they do that, they are susceptible to nights like that offensively. I'm much more concerned about what Boston didn't do offensively last night than what the Heat did to them on the other end of the floor, because I don't expect that to continue. To answer your question about Porzingis, you're right, and he has to take advantage of the switches. If you get Caleb Martin, you get Jaime Jaquez on you, whoever it may be, you got to get to the mid-post and shoot a turnaround jump shot, use your length, and be a factor in the series offensively. He was not last night, so I'm looking at it like this. The Heat shot out of their minds last night.
Right.
Boston has to now go reaffirm who right. they are, remind us in game three.
That's fine, Tim, but here's the problem. Number one, I said it earlier. Miami has shot better than 50% right. from three four times against the Boston Celtics. It's only happened one other time against Boston, okay? And so we have to look at that over the last two postseasons. So the formula for beating Boston for Miami is what they did last night. And if you are, the formula for beating Boston if you're Miami, if you're Boston, you got to figure that out. And you got to make sure that you negate that, which they're not doing, okay? That's number one. Number two, Porzingis is averaging 12 points. 36% shooting, I think, like 33% shooting. Here's the problem with that. We can look at Tatum and Brown's struggle. What we also have to say is that despite their youth, 27, 26 years of age, respectively, if I remember correctly, they've been to about four or five conference finals. Mm-hmm. What's Porzingis been doing? He's playing with the Knicks. We know he ain't going to no damn conference finals. He's playing in Dallas. He ain't going to no damn conference finals. I don't think he went to the guy. Well, he wasn't on there a couple of years ago, right? He's in Washington, okay? Right. And so then you're in. What? Don't get me started with what he was doing with the Wizards. Right. So, again, this is foreign territory for him.
That's fair.
So for Mazzulla, for Spoelstra to target him, you know why. You know, I mean, Spoelstra's a genius as a coach. We know what he's thinking. Yeah, this brother ain't proved himself. We know what those dudes can do under this level of duress. But this is a different element for him. Even at 7-3, let's see what he's got. And the one night they did it, he's 1-9 from the field. That's a problem.
That is fair.
That's a problem.
That is fair.
And he's going to have to show, like you said, again, could he do it? Sure. But he ain't been in that situation before. And we're about to find out what he's made of.
Game three going to tell us a lot. Because they lose that game, it's going to be a seven-game series.
Gotcha.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day. Oh, and it's in Detroit. This one's personal for me, folks. The New York Football Giants have the sixth pick in the NFL draft tonight, and it's no secret we need a little help. The question is, does New York draft Daniel Jones' replacement, considering his injury history and that his cap hit is fifth among all quarterbacks? Plus, the team only has one playoff appearance during his five seasons as a starter. Or do they stand pat and get him some help, as this is a heavy wide receiver draft? Here's what two quarterback prospects are saying about the Giants leading into tonight.
It means a lot. I think not only to the player I am on the field, but once they met me off the field, kind of what that means to me. But I think anywhere I go, I'm ready to go. Ready to go compete and ready to play, and hope to be the franchise. A solid quarterback.
Did you meet with the Giants?
I did. Yep. Yeah, I met with the Giants.
And how do you think that went?
Yeah, I think it went great. I met with them at the combine first, and then they've been great ever since. So Coach Daboll, you've seen what he's done with quarterbacks, so they got a good thing going.
Who are the teams that you've really enjoyed kind of going through this process with? I want to say, you know, just comes to mind right away is the New York Giants. You know, went out there for a 30 visit and they came for a private workout as well as, you know, showing up on pro day. Coach Dable, Mr. Shane, Coach Kafka, Coach Tierney, just great guys and great football guys. So it was just awesome to be with them.
All right, Dano, you know all about quarterback speak. Break that down for me. What did they just say?
I mean, they both are very interested in the Giants, and it's almost like jockeying for each other. Molly, I would say this. Outside of the Minnesota Vikings, I don't think the Giants can be any less aggressive than them. What I mean by that is, like, they have to be the second most aggressive team going up to try to go get their quarterback. I don't think it's likely because I do think 1, 2, 3 are going to stay put. The way I look at it like this is this way, Molly. Number one, Daniel Jones has never played front to back in a season in his 5 years. Number two, he's missed 18 games in the last 3 years. Number three, the most touchdown passes he's ever had in a season were 24. He's broken 15 once in his 5 years. So his cap hit is $42 million in 2025. The Giants are not in an ideal situation when it comes to that. But I don't think it's realistic for them to sit there and go, we are just content. They have to go be aggressive. And it will make their team lesser asset-wise in the future. But to sit here and say a quarterback that's thrown for over 15 touchdowns in 5 seasons more than once to be your guy is unrealistic. They have to be aggressive.
I completely, completely agree with you on that. And here's my thing. We know that the Giants need a wide receiver. They need wide receivers. They need pretty much everything. But the thing that I think everybody's missing, Dan, is Brian Dable and what he was able to do in his first year with Daniel Jones. Now, Daniel Jones' durability has been a huge question mark. Obviously, you just pointed out he only threw more than 15 touchdowns just once in his five-year career. We get all of that. I think the die is cast when it comes to him. But everybody keeps talking about receiver. I'm of the mindset, get the damn quarterback. You can work out the receiver later. You know, I trust that Brian Dable, if you give him a quarterback that knows what the hell he's doing and has the skill set, the moxie, and everything else that comes with it to make things happen, I think that he'll figure it out along the way. But if you don't have that quarterback, it don't matter who your receiver is. It doesn't matter what your tight end is. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter because the quarterback will mess it all up. My attitude is you do everything you can to go get a quarterback, especially with what you've been talking about. We've got Williams. We've got Daniels. We've got May. You just mentioned McCarthy. Why on earth, if you're the Giants with a top six pick, that you wouldn't grab a quarterback, considering what's being said about the availability at the quarterback position in this draft?
Yeah, the challenge for the Giants is going to be, is New England really willing to move off number three? I don't think they are. I think they're willing to play the game, and I think they're willing to, like, you know, have the phone calls come into them and feel good. But if you're New England, are you really going to move off the opportunity to draft one of these three kids that is wildly talented and then rebuild your roster? So if you're the Giants and you can't get into that top three, how do you get to four? And if you're Arizona and you're sitting there, Stephen A. Molly, this is the problem with the Giants, though. If you're Arizona and you're four, Minnesota is going to come swinging the absolute hammer. Take our number 11 pick this year. Take the 23 pick this year. Take our number one next year. The Giants don't have that capability.
Hold on. You think the Minnesota Vikings would do that? The 11th, the 23rd, and a first-round pick next year? I can understand if it's for one of the top two picks. But outside of that, you think Minnesota would do all of that for somebody other than Williams or Daniels?
Oh, I think they would do it for Drake May in a heartbeat. That if Minnesota could take 11, 23, and the number one next year to go to number three, I think they would do it in a heartbeat. I wouldn't if I was New England, but I think they would do it in a heartbeat.
All right. Dan, let's dive into this. Who would you say, J.J., Drake, Michael Penix, who's the best fit for New York?
The best fit for the New York Giants is Drake May. Mainly because I think he's the best fit in both New England and New York. Two reasons. One, style. Two, timeline. The style of play. Okay, so no offense in the NFL has less explosive plays since Daniel Jones took over at quarterback than the New York Giants. Drake May loves to throw the ball downfield. He's very good at it. Brian Dable loves to throw the ball downfield. So I like the marriage style-wise when it comes to play. The element of the quarterback run and the athletic quarterback go back to Daniel Jones' first season with Brian Daboll a little bit, but even more so Josh Allen. Number two, the timeline. Drake May goes to the New York Giants. He immediately takes basically every rep from the day they select him in this offseason program because Daniel Jones is still recovering from ACL surgery. Then season comes, Daniel Jones can be your starting quarterback. Great, hurrah, fine, figure it out. And then Drake May can sit. There's no pressure to get him on the field right away. And if you want to tell me that Drake May plays the last game or two or something like that, I'm cool with it. And then 2025 comes, and they can make a decision of Daniel Jones didn't play good enough, we're going to Drake May. Or you know what, Daniel Jones played solid football, we can be patient and let Drake continue to develop. I think that's why I sit there and say New England or New York is probably the ideal place for me for Drake, or New England because they have Jacoby Brissett.
So do you believe that the difference between May and a guy like J.J. McCarthy is that basically Drake May loves to throw the football downfield, and that's what Brian Daboll would love? Is that, does it really come down to it for you on that level?
No, it comes down to me on the level of you're trying to project what they can be and not what they are. There is that. And I think if both guys max out, Drake becomes the better player because he has more uncoachable physical traits. And if J.J. max out, he's probably like Kirk Cousins. I think if Drake May maxes out, he's Big Ben.
Interesting. I love those comps. All right, Dan, I got a quick take for you here. Tell me, we always love the surprises in the drafts, the trades, all of it. I can hear the music in my ear. Which team do you think will provide the biggest surprise in tonight's first round?
Yeah, I think it's going to be the San Francisco 49ers back half of the first round. We've all attached teams that are there like the Buffalo Bills and the Kansas City Chiefs to a wide receiver. I could see San Fran taking a wide receiver. Maybe it's A.D. Mitchell. Maybe it's Xavier Worthy. Maybe it's Brian Thomas out of LSU. The bank for Brandon Ayuk continues to grow when it comes to how much you're going to have to potentially pay him. And they have Debo. And the Brock Purdy contract is coming. And to remind everybody, he is not a first-round pick that they get to pick up the fifth-year option. Wait, the payment is going to come next year. And it's going to be very difficult to afford Brandon Ayuk, Debo Samuel, Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey. And I could see San Francisco taking a surprise first-round receiver at the back half of that first round and then entertaining moving Brandon Ayuk to a team that has a young, cheap, inexpensive quarterback and take a pick, give it to San Francisco, and moving Ayuk.
All right. More on the draft in just a bit. Dan, thank you kindly. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. The stars are already out in these NBA playoffs. Pascal Siakam leads in postseason scoring. Damian Lillard is right behind him on the other side of that series. Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, both averaging over 30 points per game in their series as well. Okay. Legs, Windy, back in the his house. Stephen A.
Yeah.
Let's break this down. Mm-hmm. Who has been the most impressive to you thus far in this early season of the playoffs?
The operative word, ladies and gentlemen, is impressive as opposed to efficient. I'm going to go with Joel Embiid. I can't even tell you how sorry. I'm a Knicks fan. I can't tell you how sad I am for this guy right here. This dude is averaging 31 in this series, 31-9 in this series on one leg. And if you watch him move, if you watch him play, he can barely move. He's writhing in pain all the time. I mean, he is just out there. I feel so bad for him. I really, really do, because to me, as much as I love my Knicks and as much as I'm rooting for my Knicks and what have you, I think this would be a different series if Joel Embiid was 80%, guys. I don't think he's at 50%, Wendy. I really it's a challenge to push that he's at 50%. Like right there, he'll move, he'll make a quick move, and he'll look healthy, and then the next thing you know, all of a sudden, he can't move for the next 10 minutes. I mean, it's like that. And to see it up close and personal, to see him just squinting and just writhing in pain the way that he was, and to be out there on that basketball court doing what he's been doing, I'm not shocked at all that he hasn't been that effective, Tim, hasn't been that effective, Wendy, in the fourth quarter, because I'm shocked he's made it to the fourth quarter. And I've wondered often, Nick Nurse, why do you have this brother with the ball? They got the little rotation offense going. You sit in screens. You know, you got to stick your leg out to do all this. Somebody can run into your knee at any given moment. I don't know why on earth. And then they got him coming, like, from the right side to the left. So when he's facing them, he's sticking that left leg out. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. But I that's just what I come up with. Again, impressive. I'm not talking about efficient.
I love your answer, particularly. And one of the reasons I think he's staying so much on the perimeter is because if he goes into the paint or under the rim offensively,
you gotta go.
He's never getting back to the other end of the floor.
Right.
He can't change ends of the floor. I think he's saving some of that energy to get back and help protect the paint.
Right.
Love your answer. I think there's two other guys. I'm going to give you quickly the obvious one for me. When you look at what Jokic is doing, I'm not going to discount 30, 16, and 9. Okay, those averages in two games against the Lakers, particularly the way he operated in the fourth quarter of game two. But I think my number one answer is Pascal Siakam. And here's why. You look at that team collectively and the playoff experience that they have, the lack of winning as a group that they've had in the postseason, they don't know what that's all about. Yeah, they had a run in that in-season tournament. It's not the same as this. This is what you went out and got him for because of his experience in the postseason, his ability to raise his level of play. He is a champion, and he is a guy that right now, when you look at those numbers, 37-12 in the first two games against the Bucks has been enough to withstand the onslaught from Damian Lillard to get that thing to 1-1. I picked the Pacers to win that series. That's not going to happen if they lose game two. They do it in large part because of the way Pascal Siakam operated. So just individually, a guy raising the bar under a more extreme pressure, I'm looking at Siakam and what he has done with that younger core group of players in Indiana, man. They're following his lead, and he's giving them a real chance to win this series.
Yeah, Siakam certainly sees great opportunity without Giannis because he can dominate in the paint, and the Pacers have been the dominant paint team in that series because Giannis isn't there at either end, and he's definitely up there. I want to put a little bit of a spotlight on Luka Doncic, and with words that I didn't think I would say, his defense. His defense has been the biggest thing that has affected him negatively other than his complaining over the last couple of years. We know he's one of the most talented offensive players in the league. I couldn't believe the level of defense that Luka played in Game 2 in L.A. the other night. He was the point of attack defender time after time again. He's down in a stance, digging, using his length, not letting guys past him, contesting shots. The Clippers were 2 of 17 shooting against him, 0-11 when he was directly contesting the shot. Now, there's 100 different reasons you could miss a shot. There's in an individual game, anything can happen. But the leadership that I saw from Luka defensively in this game is a reason to believe that the Mavericks can stitch this together. When they started getting going at midseason, I wanted to dismiss them, guys, because I didn't think they would be able to defend well enough to win at a high enough level.
Right.
Well, they shoved that back in my face because down the last 20 games of the season, they were the number one defense in the league, and they won this game in L.A. the other day with defense. And if they're going to defend like that, and Luka is going to work at this end of the court, their ceiling is going to get raised. So I am impressed with Luka. He's obviously got to do it for more than a game or two, but this is changing the dynamic. And not only that, Kyrie Irving is working hard, staying in his lane, and Kyrie is so dangerous in the postseason in these one-game settings where he can win a game by himself. Dallas is so dangerous right now with this defense.
Good choices. Good choices. I can't listen. Those are good arguments, especially with Luka, because he was D'ing up in game two. No doubt about that. And we can't ignore Jokic. I'm just looking at Embiid, man, and I'm like, on one leg, this brother is doing what he is doing. I can't believe he's still on the court. Seriously.
Yeah, I'm sick to my stomach.
He's been that bad.
Because he finally has the co-star that's ready for this moment.
That's right.
Tyrese Maxey has been unbelievable.
Yes.
And I expect him to be most nights because he doesn't seem fazed by any of this stuff. He's just the same guy every night, confident personality. That's why I'm sick for Sixers fans because Embiid looks like this
when
he has that guy showing up. And I think he's going to show up every single night.
Right.
And is it going to be enough with Embiid at 60% to get through this series?
And by the way, with Maxey, this is what needs to be said as well. Understand that Jalen Brunson is a top five candidate for league MVP honors. Jalen Brunson has been sensational this year. Tyrese Maxey's been the best point guard in this series. He has clearly outshined Jalen Brunson in a significant fashion. And Jalen Brunson's going to have to step his game up to come close to matching what Tyrese Maxey has given him.
Stephen, if I had tweaked this question and I had said to you, who's shown the most heart in this playoff so far?
Heart.
Would you still have gone with Joel Embiid?
Yes.
What about you guys?
Yeah.
Who else do you think has shown, like, the most heart and dog in their fight?
I think Minnesota's shown it.
Yes.
I think Minnesota showed it because they got to this stage. You're playing a superstar-laden team, and it was important for them to establish their identity and to watch them get stronger as that game went on in games one and two and watch Phoenix wilt. That's all because of what Minnesota's doing to them defensively. They turned it into an alley fight, and it doesn't look like Phoenix wants much a part of that. So I've been very impressed with Minnesota, their toughness, their fight. They win a game when Anthony Edwards really isn't much of a factor offensively. It doesn't matter. They still win that game going away. Very impressed with them because of their toughness.
Wendy, 30 seconds here, but I want to hear from you.
Yeah, I think definitely Minnesota has been impressive, but I also think Miami. Miami has been in trouble twice now. Had to win the second play-in game to get in. Obviously, if they get slapped around again last night, they're in big trouble. They're down, like, not only are they down Jimmy Butler, they're down Terry Rozier. I mean, we had Tyler Hero with 14 assists last night. He's not even a point guard. You know, he's just kind of figuring it out. So I don't think the Heat are going to win this series, but you can't ever doubt them, doubt their heart, and doubt, you know, the way they approach the game.
It's very important to mention this.
Yeah, in the top of the hour.
We're never sad when Miami wins.
Facts.
Ever.
Cosign. Retweet. Ever. I'm not even going to the finals, but I'm still excited. I'm still excited for you. Okay, so that's love.
It would not bother me at all.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.